south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. First, a couple of pertinent emails. This one starts, "Hey Johnny, been listening for quite some time, way back to November 2011. But there's something I've been wondering about now that I've had some medical problems and piled up a significant amount of bills. There's really no way I can hope to dig my way out of this financial mess except to file bankruptcy. My question about the residency process in Latin America is, does a past bankruptcy affect the residency application process in any of the countries I might be interested in? Like Guatemala, Paraguay, Ecuador, and Chile specifically. Thanks. Stu." Well, Stu, in a word, no. Why? Because all these particular individual Latin governments care about is that you're going to bring money into the country and spend it. And a bankruptcy actually clears your slate. However, the Latin country you're applying to won't know about that anyway. You see, a Latin country wants to know you've got the finances so that you're not a burden on their safety net or welfare system. That's supposed to be a joke, by the way. What safety net? What welfare system? Anyway, one of the only things that'll get your residency application rejected is if, on your police report or FBI report, a felony pops up. Even a few misdemeanors can hurt your chance. Like, for example, a DUI. Of course, that's all up to the discretion of who's reviewing your paperwork. You'll never know if that person's having a good day or bad day, if his roids are acting up or it's a Friday. On Fridays, government offices are pretty slack. Well, they're pretty slack all the time, but on Fridays, even more so. Now, when it's a day before a holiday, or feriado, they call it, everyone's even happier than usual. So anything goes, except for the fact that a lot of government workers just don't show up that day. They might never get to you, so you might have stood in line all day for nothing. So it's a flip of a coin. I've heard of cases where a DUI has gotten a person's application rejected, and I've heard of some cases where it slipped right through without a mention. And whether that shows up on your sheriff's report or FBI report depends on how long ago it happened and in what state. You know, in some states, it depends on the alcohol level you have when you get busted, whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor. Still, it's always better to have a squeaky clean blank report. But what if you don't? By the way, I repeat, no financial information like a bankruptcy will show up on a police or FBI report. Unless maybe when you had the hearing, you punched the judge in the kisser. By the way, what's nice about Latin countries that accept just a police or sheriff's report, that is when you're applying for residency, is that it's issued by the county you live in, and it involves just your county and your state. So, for example, and take this for what it's worth, suppose you had a DUI in Oklahoma, and that's your home state, that's where you live. Well, if you got a sheriff's report from Oklahoma, it'll show up there, probably. However, let's say your sister lives in Texas, and you went over there for a visit, or perhaps you're going to stay for a couple of months. Let's say you're job hunting. Maybe not consciously, but we're always open to new opportunities and job offers, right? Whatever. You go down to the local sheriff's department. They ask you where you live. You're living with your sister, a Texas resident. And surprise, surprise, you've got a nice, clean sheriff's report from the county you're now residing in. So is that illegal? Why would it be? You're living at your sister's house, right? Even if it's temporary. Which is why it's so nice if you have any kind of blemishes at all on your police report. There may be some ways to work around that if you're applying for residency in a country that accepts a sheriff or police report. Oh, and here's something interesting. I've seen a lot of those police and sheriff's reports. And some of them say, for example, this person has had no outstanding criminal judgments or warrants in this county or jurisdiction. You get it? In this county or jurisdiction. Well then, what about everywhere else? Remember, we're talking about a police or sheriff's report. However, in the following countries that you mentioned there in your email, Stu, Paraguay, Ecuador, and Chile, well, guess what? They now require an FBI report. And that's nationwide, includes all states. The other country you mentioned, Guatemala, still requires just a sheriff or police report. Boy, aren't you glad you listened to this show? And as far as DUIs, you know, it could happen to anyone, even if you only get torched once a year at the office Christmas party. And for those of you inflexible anal types, riddle me this. I'd like to know if there's any American adult out there who hasn't at least once driven under the influence or slightly under the influence of booze. So it could be luck of the draw whether you got picked up or you didn't. Now, I expect I'm going to get a couple emails on that, but really, think about it. Not once, not even driving home from your bachelor party or a college frat party or Sadie Hawkins. Come on. It's like saying you never farted in church. Of course, I never did. Now, you know, every show I talk about my Expat Essentials course, right? Always the very next best way to get your boots lined up if you can't get boots on the ground or come down to my Expat Insider Seminar. And you know, once in a while when we send out blurbs about the Expat Essentials course, we ask the question, are you tired of the rat race? Are you tired of paying 50% or more of your earnings in combined taxes? Are you worried about the future? Are you sick of being surveilled and listened to? Are you sick of Big Brother breathing down your throat? Do you want to get off that treadmill? Each one a very good reason in itself to get your Plan B started, or at least start thinking about it. Anyway, Latin America is not the only place in the world you can get that Plan B going. Some people, in fact, a lot of people have selected Southeast Asia. That said, here's an email from an avid listener in Southeast Asia. He says, and I'll paraphrase this a bit, 15 years ago already, I was tired of the rat race. I was tired of paying crazy-ass taxes. I was worried about the future. I was on the treadmill. Then I moved to Thailand. I spent my first 3 years there, then moved to Cambodia, and have been living there ever since. I've also traveled around all over Southeast Asia. Problem is, I'm getting older now. I'm 55 and want to be closer to home, which is Canada. About 24 to 30 hours traveling time if I want to take a trip. So, Johnny, I've been researching little by little over the years, looking at Brazil, Bolivia, Colombia, Nicaragua, Mexico, Belize, Haiti, the DR, Cuba, Jamaica. But never until now, Guatemala. I always thought it was too dangerous. But hell, people think that about Cambodia now, and it's safer than Canadian cities. Yep, corruption here in Cambodia is high, but not as much as 10 years ago, I think. But here, we don't call it corruption. We call it tea money, and it makes all the red tape go away. Isn't that interesting? I bought land here, built houses, and had businesses. I like the tea money system, and it makes life easy. Plus, he says, no property tax here unless you have a large home. However, now they've instituted a 10% income tax. They never had that before. And a 10% business tax. I would like to stay here, Johnny, because I know the language now and have made some friends in high places, which always helps. I used to know some Spanish. I learned French for 12 years in school, Canada, you know, which helped me learn Spanish fairly easily before. So what I need to do is get my boots on the ground somewhere in Latin America. You know, I'm an off-the-tourist trail type of guy. There, in Latin America, I think it would be much the same as it is in here, off the tourist trail, and you know how to speak the language. Then you'll pay local prices, which is generally half or less here anyway than tourists pay. Anyway, Johnny, if you have any ideas for me, please let me know. And if you want any info on Cambodia, ask. And that email came from Kevin. You know, since we don't talk much at all about the differences between Southeast Asia and Latin America, for gringos and expats with a Plan B, that is, we should, because people want to know the alternatives. So, I wrote this follow-up email back to him. I said, I know Southeast Asia is very cheap if you're off the tourist trail, just like Latin America, because I've done it. But you know what, Kevin? I have to say, when I was there, and I stayed a while, I felt like a fish out of water, so I'll pass. For starters, I have a list of 5 main reasons why I prefer Latin America 10 times as much as Southeast Asia. Believe me, I have a lot more reasons than that, but these are the main ones. Number one, no matter how long you live in Southeast Asia, you can never really fit or blend into their society like you can in Latin America. The cultural and language gaps are extreme compared to Latin America. Number two, the modernized parts of Southeast Asia are heavily populated, and when the reset button is pushed, and it's going to get pushed, and then the whole world's going to feel it, you know. I want to be far, far away from the sweaty masses, and yet still have access to nice infrastructure and all the creature comforts that gringos are used to. If you check it out, you'll see that Southeast Asia is full of strategic hotspots, and Latin America, almost none. There's only the Panama Canal. So where you've got strategic areas, the infrastructure is in danger of being knocked out. Let's put it this way. I'll bet you a Bitcoin there's not a single missile aimed at anywhere but the Panama Canal in Latin America. Number three, and here's a biggie. Many Southeast Asian countries have large Muslim populations. Allah Akbar. For example, in Indonesia and the Philippines. And you know what? Let's see, how can I say this kindly? They can have their medieval, backwards, sexist ways, but I want to be far, far away from that influence, too. Like I've said so many times, and I'll use the example of Guatemala City, population of 2 million or more if you count the burbs, with a total of 2 mosques. And then there's my hometown, Chicago, city of around 6 million if you count the burbs, more than 100 mosques. Look it up if you doubt me. In other words, you could walk around for days in Latin cities like La Paz, Bolivia, city of 1 million people, San Salvador or Guatemala City, Managua, Nicaragua, Belize City or San Pedro Sula, Honduras, and never see a single person in Middle Eastern garb or a burqa. I mean, come on, it's obvious to any moron that the Muslim culture and the so-called Christian cultures just don't mix and they never will. I'm sure you've heard the saying, not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists seem to be Muslims. Then there's the fact that you never hear about so-called Christians strapping bombs on their backs and yelling, death to the infidel Muslims. I know. A lot of people will say, I know a lot of nice Muslims. And if you live in the big city, you probably do. But did you ever take a look at the Quran? Did you ever actually read it? Hey, but there is progress. You know, I hear Saudi Arabia is actually going to allow certain women to drive. Though I understand, like a kid with training wheels on his bike, only in the daytime. Ain't that progress? My philosophy? You can't fight it, so you might as well stay away from it. Far, far away from it. Now, I know we've all heard stories about certain Muslim terrorist cells coming up through Mexico. In fact, having cells placed in Mexico. Hey, I don't doubt that at all. But you know what? That's just another reason to not recommend Mexico for gringos and expats. Even though, just today, one of my expat insider seminar attendees, Melody, also Canadian, sent me a blurb she just got, thanks for that, Mel, from that famous rag that's always 10 years behind the curve, International Living, telling of the joys of living, working, playing, and getting your residency in Mexico. Yeah, after they got everyone stampeding into Costa Rica and ruining that place. And now they're finishing off the job in Panama, big cities in Colombia, and Cuenca, Ecuador, too. By the way, if you were a Muslim terrorist, where would you try to set up your cells? Right on the Mexican side of the U.S.-Mexican border. Strategic, right? By the way, I heard an interview the other day with a U.S. Border Patrol guy. He says, when Muslims shave, clean up, and put on Western clothes, they often look identical to Latin immigrants. And he said the Border Patrol caught a number of them coming through with passports from various Latin countries, sporting Latin American names like Garcia, Lopez, Vasquez, Gonzalez, etc. Yet they don't speak Spanish, but they speak some English. Yep, that's reason 3,226 why I'd never live in Mexico. But you knew that already, right? Well, maybe you didn't. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Being recklessly politically incorrect. All right, reason number four, I prefer Latin America over Southeast Asia. I guess we'll throw in a little lookism and culture bias here. Seems like every single expat I know, gringos and gringas both, who've been to Latin America and spent time in Southeast Asia, they all say pretty much the same thing, though not in public. Meaning behind closed doors and at parties and such. They'll say things like, Latin women and men are by far the most beautiful and or handsome and sexy. And the proof? Well, just look who's winning all those international beauty pageants. And for men, where do you think that suave Latin lover stereotype came from? Started hundreds of years ago in Spain with Don Juan, of course. On the other hand, when discussing with gringo and gringa expats who've been to Southeast Asia, the attractiveness factor of the culture there, the gringas say, the men, not my physical type. And gringo men will say, and don't take this wrong, the girls kind of look like little boys. Again, their words, not mine. And man, I've heard that refrain many times. Oh boy, I'm sure to get some classist hate mail on that. So what am I supposed to do? Not tell you what gringos and gringas are saying behind closed doors? So we're supposed to be totally politically correct and say all cultures are equally desirable, attractive, and sexy? Well, I'm sorry, that's not the world we live in. In fact, let me tell you this little story. Here in Central America, where I spend most of my time, there are lots and lots of giant clothing maquilas, you know, sweatshop factories, as they call them up in the first world. Here they make the t-shirts, hats, pants, and shoes for half the world. And I happen to know a lot of the owners and managers of these big plants. Nearly all of them, gringos and gringas, transplanted down here to Latin America to run these big places from the garment district in New York. So over the years, even way back before the millennium, I got to know these guys and gals, invited to their parties, visited their factories, in fact, became pretty good friends with a lot of them. And there's something I learned along the way, through the rumor mill and frank discussions. Turns out, they dislike, even hate, being transferred to Asia. Like one friend of mine, Mike Ronco, said, it's like getting court-martialed. So then what's the problem? Same kind of work. Same setup, same machines, making clothing for the world and all that. The problem is, as they say, it's a much more severe culture clash than Latin America ever was. I've watched these guys roll their eyes and complain about the food, the culture, the habits, the language. Even though these guys and gals are moving around all the time, a year here, 2 years there, every last one of them has told me that when they're in Asia, they really miss Latin America. They say they've got a soft spot for it, and I believe it. So I've got these gringo and gringa maquila guys, seasoned world travelers, telling me the same thing. They're always hoping to be stationed at a maquila in Latin America. And after a while, you see this too, they don't even want to go back to the States. Turns out they have a plan B going and they don't even know it. So it's true, people's idea of beauty is different all over the world, meaning lookism and what the beauty standards we've been programmed with in our own culture determines a lot of what we're going to be attracted to as adults. So in that department, as far as gringos and gringas, their preference is clear. It's that Latin mix, that salsa thing. Speaking of salsa, how about the way Latins dance? How about the way Asians dance? Sure, a lot of big generalizations here. There's always exceptions. Hey, but in this world of political correctness, I do expect to get a lot of righteous emails slapping me up on this one. Or not. All right, and here's reason number five why I much prefer Latin America over Southeast Asia. Well, we've got a huge gringo advantage here in Latin America. And the fact is, you know, if you check out any of the IQ statistics throughout the world, you'll find Asian populations in general rank the highest. Yep, more than a couple of points higher than your average gringo. In fact, last I checked, and you can look this up for yourself, number one on the IQ scale as a group, the Asians, number two, Israelis, number three, Germans, and on, but let's not get too deep into this, lest I generate even more hate mail. Anyway, when it comes to IQ and general knowledge put to application, the Asians have it. And the Latins, well, unfortunately, they're far down the list. And it's mostly a childhood nutrition thing that plagues most of the population. So, since us first world gringos are better educated, higher IQs, more disciplined, more well-traveled, and with our broader world outlook and experience, well, that's part and parcel of our gringo advantage when we're in another culture that doesn't share those traits. Now, in this specific case, I'm talking about our gringo advantage in business and general organizational skills. Again, what it boils down to is that it's all about the details. So it can be proven in a number of ways that your gringo advantage is much stronger in Latin America than it is in most of Asia. And of course, that ties in with the fact that Spanish is a lot easier to learn by far than any Asian language. Oh, and for extra credit on this Latin American preferency list, we all know the term ugly American, and you can see a lot of those when you go on the gringo tourist trail, like, for example, Costa Rica, much of Mexico, and in tourist hotspots in the rest of the world, London, Paris, Rome. And it goes way back to the 60s. There was a movie that was fairly popular, Marlon Brando was in it, called, get this, The Ugly American. And the theme? Self-explanatory. And guess where it took place? In Southeast Asia. So they had our number 50-plus years ago. However, in Latin America, off the gringo tourist trail, that is, it's rare you see an ugly American. Man, we're treated like pals and honored guests. Now, on the gringo tourist trail, it's kind of a different story. We get the benefit of Latin courtesy, but you can see and feel sometimes that there's false smiles and smirks behind those happy faces who've been jaded and somewhat contaminated by the gringo dollar. Luckily, less than 5% of Latin America is on the gringo tourist trail. And it is sad, it seems, everywhere we seem to show up, whether with our tourists or our military, we soon enough become persona non grata. In fact, if you spend any time in Costa Rica and you know the language and listen to people and read a few op-ed pieces in the local papers, you'll see some want to kick the gringos out. Of course, they would say that after the gringos came in and changed a sleepy backwater into a modern juggernaut of a tourist economy, bringing education, sanitation, infrastructure, organization to a country that never had that stuff before. Of course, along with that comes, again, a lot of ugly Americans and that dollar contamination. Unintended consequences, secondary effects, who'd have thunk, huh? However, in the rest of Latin America, man, the Latinos really want to be friends with us and they look up to us. That is, as long as we spread ourselves thin. And you certainly can't say that attitude prevails in the rest of the world. And if you doubt that, ask yourself, who do you think invented the phrase sueño americano or American dream? Well, it certainly didn't come from the citizens living up in the States. They just plug away at their lives and that's what they're used to. Nothing dreamy about it to them. The idea of an American dream is a Latin American concoction. In fact, if you bring it up to most Americans living up in the States, more and more of them say it's turned into a nightmare. So bottom line, Southeast Asia has a lot to offer. I know that. I've been there. However, almost every gringo, gringa, and expat I've known who've really had boots on the ground and explored both cultures thoroughly always seem to say, man, I'll take Latin America every time. In fact, if you remember our good friend Jack Brett, who wrote Fast Spanish, again, he's offering it for free. Just go to theexpatfiles.com/fastspanish. Just came out less than a month ago. So it's as current as it can be. Anyway, author Jack Brett spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia himself. And, of course, in Latin America, came down as one of my expat insider seminar attendees. And, of course, he did all the research for his book here. So he's seen both worlds and his choice, Latin America. Anyway, I passed on some of these points to our emailer, Kevin, who's been living in Cambodia for, 15 years now, who now at 55 is planning on moving to Latin America. And here's what he had to say. He said, yep, Johnny, you're right with number one. Gringos and expats can never really fit into Southeastern Asian society. The culture is too foreign and different. And he says, number two, correct also. Too many densely populated areas. And when the reset button gets hit, well, it's going to be nasty. Then he says, as for number three, the Muslim problem. Dictator Pol Pot killed almost every Muslim in Cambodia. Other countries, like Malaysia and a few others, are truly Muslim. Then, as for number four, the attractiveness of the culture to gringos and expats, the so-called lookism factor. Yeah, I know, it's superficial and shallow, but hey, it's on people's radar and something they do talk about. Then Kevin says, yes, Johnny, most Asian ladies have completely flat butts. And I'm a butt man, he says. Speaking as a guy here, he adds that Latin ladies more than excel in that department, bar none. All right, enough said about that. Now, as for number five, he says, where I live at least, gringos are loved and well appreciated, just like in Latin America. Then he says, but the point is, after 15 years in Southeast Asia, and at my age 55, I'm interested in moving to Latin America. I'm not sure exactly which country would be best, cheapest, and safest for a Canadian, maybe Belize, because it was a British colony and so was Canada. So I am getting ready to put my boots on the ground somewhere in Latin America, just don't know where yet. Signed, Kevin, live from Cambodia. All right, there you have it, little discussion on the pros and cons of Latin America versus Southeast Asia. From two guys with a lot of boots on the ground, he 15 years there and me 27 years here. Oh, and Kevin, by the way, my advice to you, if you're thinking about Belize or any other place in Latin America, just go into the archives and listen to some of my 700 and something shows now. You'll find out why Belize is not my favorite country, especially for a person over 55 and looking forward to the twilight of his years, where medical problems and issues will definitely become a larger part of your life. Because you see, Belize is one of the countries in Latin America most lacking in modern medical services. Sure, they've got doctors, hospitals, and clinics, but way too spread out, under-equipped, and understaffed. Just check back in the archives to get the details. All right, so since the topic today was getting boots on the ground, whether it be in Southeast Asia or Latin America, the point is, anyone can get boots on the ground, but you got to get the right kind of boots on the ground. Not many of us have all the time in the world to travel and hang out, poking our nose into this and that, exploring, discovering things at our own pace. Moving forward, sure, but sometimes really spinning our wheels. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, you know, but so many gringos and expats do. And often they waste thousands along the way. So I'm thinking, by now we're all past those old college summer vacation backpacking days. So how do you get the right kind of boots on the ground? Simple. Sign up for my Expat Insider Seminar. Starts January 6th. With 6 full days and nights of drinking from the fire hose, lectures every day from 8 to noon, and then we're off on our boots-on-the-ground journeys to places you'll certainly never stumble on yourself. Nearly always off the gringo tourist trail, of course, and we'll be in the Altiplano at all times. So you'll experience that perpetual spring weather you've heard so much about. That in itself is a fantastic experience. And the best part of the trip? Why, the people you'll be networking with. Plus, you'll be with a group of fun, adventurous, like-minded people. Self-starter types, movers and shakers, most of them smarter than I am. My mom used to say, hang around with the smart kids, they'll pull you up to a higher plane. Hang around with the dumb ones, you'll be the smartest guy in the room, but you won't learn a thing. The way things are shaping up in Big Brother land, I don't know how many more seminars like this I can give. They will come to an end, you know. I'm thinking international travel restrictions are coming soon. They're making it difficult for the sheep to leave the barn, but as of now, you still can. To sign up, just go to thenewexpat.com. While you're there, check out the itineraries on those fabulous John Galt pre and post tours for exactly the right kind of boots on the ground you can't get any other way. By the way, when people ask me what my plan C is all about, you know, people with a plan B sometimes have a plan C too. Well, you go on one of those John Galt trips and you'll see what my plan C would look like. Now, a lot of people send me emails saying, Johnny, I can't make it to this seminar. I'm coming to the next one. To them, I say, it's about time you sign up for my Expat Essentials course. Are you working on your own plan B? Have you got your ducks lined up? Well, that's what the Expat Essentials course is all about. Just go to expatplanb.com and download my introductory video. And don't forget, if you sign up for my Expat Insider Seminar, before you even get down here, you and I will be doing a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. And for all you other listeners, you should have, by now, downloaded my Expat Plan B phone consult questionnaire form. You'll find that on the newexpat.com main page, too. Have a look. It's another helpful piece in the Plan B puzzle.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.